This week on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Season 2, Episode 10 of TMNT Classic, New York's Shiniest. I'm King Cowabunga.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Gub.
And you're listening to Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast, Episode 15! Welcome to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Podcast. Here we are.
How's it going?
That's right. And you know, our goal is, in this episode, to go on as few tangents as possible, so I have to do as little editing as possible. That way, the episodes go up faster.
Last episode, I don't know if you knew.
I cut like a half hour out of that.
It's a half hour that's on the cutting room floor of pure gold.
You know what's funny is even when you listen to it edited, there's still tangents.
There's a shit ton of tangents.
Oh, that's so funny. All right.
So should we explain to listeners what's going on in this? This is a very special episode.
So I watched the wrong episode.
I also watched the wrong episode, but I solved that problem by watching the right episode.
Yes. So
just moments ago,
Sauce and Gub watched the wrong episode as well. We didn't watch the same wrong episode. Which is even funnier in a way.
Total
right?
Fuck ups.
We just screwed up. Like between the two of us, there was three mistakes almost. No, two mistakes.
Yeah.
So a mistake each, which is pretty funny. Yeah. Okay, so I watched the next episode, which is Teenagers from Dimension X, because for some reason, what I found online told me the next episode was that. Peter Tossin' Gub found something else online and told me the next episode was a different episode.
I was going by production schedule and not airing schedule.
You went by production schedule.
Yeah, that's why. Apparently, okay. And apparently, someone on YouTube labeled the wrong episode. So.
Okay. So, Pete's Tossin' Gub, watch the right episode. It's New York's Shiniest. I haven't seen it. So, I'm going to take the role of you, the listener, and listen on, and I will comment as he talks about it.
Okay.
Go ahead. Take me on this turtle journey, if you will. I like how you told me right out the gate I would like this episode.
Okay. So, this episode starts. Shredder, Bio, and Rocksteady are in like a random rundown building, wherever the fuck they're living now, you know.
Is it an amusement park?
No, it's just like a fucking random rundown building.
Because they live in a freaking amusement park the next episode.
Whoa! They lived in Baxter's apartment for a little bit.
Baxter is gone now.
Oh yeah, Baxter's a fly now, and he's in. Is he still in Dimension X at this point?
No, he's 1 second ahead.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot.
Something really stupid like that.
He's just 1 second ahead.
0.2 seconds ahead of everyone else.
He's like 0.3 milliseconds ahead or something. That said some stupid fucking. Ugh. But anyway, so Shredder, Beop, and Rocksteady are in their rundown garbage apartment, right?
Okay. Did you hear any? Like, I just heard nothing for a good minute. I thought did you hear me say the podcast is going to drop? That's what I said.
I think just no.
It's still recording.
So Baxter, not Baxter, Shredder, Beop, and Rocksteady,
yep,
are in their rundown apartment, and they call Krang for help. Well, actually, they call Krang. They don't call Krang for help. They call Krang to explain their plan.
Look, Krang, we're having a problem making rent. Bebop won't get a job.
Well, we are Rocksteady, the fucking deadbeats of all deadbeats.
Really?
Yeah, they just, I mean, like, they're mooching off Shredder, and Shredder has no money.
Yeah, but Shredder probably mugs people. I'm assuming that's where he.
Well, he mugged. Who did he mug? He mugged that random guy when he came back in season one. Remember?
No, I thought he mugged criminals.
Oh, yeah, the criminals tried to mug him. That's
tried
right.
To mug him. You know, I would have liked a scene where Shredder just mugs random people in the background. That would have been great. Give me your money, old lady!
To explain how Shredder affords his lifestyle of anything.
Anything. Food?
Food.
It'd be pretty funny if he just was leaving a soup kitchen.
Well, we established several episodes ago that Shredder is clearly using the that weird ray gun thing he has to put clothes on himself because he's really a homeless person.
It's a disguise.
I spent last night listening to five episodes in a row of this. It made me laugh so hard.
I listen to it while I draw. So, all right, go ahead. Let's go.
Shredder basically explains his plan. His plan is that the police are creating robot policemen, and Shredder's going to hijack them and hack them to make them his army.
Okay,
that's his plan.
Sounds like a pretty good plan.
He's gonna reprogram them so they attack the turtles. Okay,
sounds good. I want to see flawless plan.
Flawless. One of the most flawless plans he has. It doesn't involve a specific series of events happening like his previous plans.
Yes. Oh, and I'm just gonna say this before we go any further. I'm not gonna talk about it now, but at the end of the episode, I do want to talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game.
Yeah, we'll go through this quick.
Okay, so go ahead.
Talk about that too. Anyway, so now it's my favorite scene. Two of my favorite scenes back to back.
Back to back, baby. One after the other.
Okay. After Shredder calls Krang and tells him his plan. We smash cut to April and Irma walking down the street. And Irma's complaining how she can't find a man. Of course.
Oh, Irma. Classic Irma.
Out of nowhere, some dude starts hollering at Irma.
What? Yes. I was about to say.
Dude in a van is just like hollering at Irma out of the van. Hey, babe, what's up? And Irma's like, oh, I think I found my Prince Charming. And it was like, good grief. Right? Okay.
It gets better.
They go April pulls her away and they go upstairs to April's apartment to hang out or stuff, whatever they're going over there for.
Her and this man?
No. April pulls Irma away from the guy catcalling her in a van.
What's the guy look like?
There's like a big meathead.
Is he a Guido?
Probably.
Is he some Italian looking dude?
Yeah, he has a headband.
I was gonna say, I bet he looks like a Dago. I'm just throwing it out there.
He looks kind of like the bad guy from Karate Kid. Italian.
Does he have blonde hair?
No, he looks like the guy, except he had brown hair and it was more Italian.
You mean the guy who ran the martial arts school? Bad guy?
The blonde kid.
Yeah, the blonde kid.
You didn't run the martial arts school?
I'm saying, yeah, the blonde kid, because I remember who you're talking about. Not, yeah, the blonde kid ran the school. My mistake.
Oh, you mean he looks like the guy who ran the school? Kind of.
No. The kid who ran well, he was the leader of the kids.
Yes.
Sweep the leg.
He kind of looks like the sweep the leg guy.
He feels really bad when he does that, too.
So
but go on.
So, after Irma gets catcalled, Irma's like, fuck that guy, come with me. And they go upstairs, and April is being robbed. April's apartment is being robbed.
It's New York, right?
Yeah, it's New York.
First off, I'm going to ask this question. When did she get a new apartment? Her apartment blown up.
Like every episode so far.
Remember, April is PT, post-Turtles. Like, GM. Everything the Turtles touch is destroyed. So April is post-Turtles. When did she get a new apartment? When did this happen?
Well, they go upstairs and people are robbing her. And the best part about it is, like, the guy who's robbing her is like this another Guido looking dude. Okay, he's got a trench coat. It's like a deep purple. He's got no sleeves. He got a black shirt. Trench coat with no sleeves. He got a black T-shirt with the anarchy symbol on it.
Oh, you know he's an anarchist. Watch out.
And he's carrying her couch on his back.
By himself?
Yeah, because he's stealing her couch.
What a badass.
There's two people in there. This is one of the guys. And then April goes, hey, that's my couch. And he goes, he says some, like, quippy line, and then just flips in the air, catches it, and then throws it off screen, like, at the viewer.
Oh, he flips in the air?
He flips the couch in the air.
I'm saying he does a flip while holding the couch.
He throws the couch. April says, put that down. He says, good idea. He flips it in the air, catches it, and then throws it, and like it smashes into a million pieces.
At April?
No, just at the floor.
So he just breaks it straight up.
Breaks it. Like he had her couch and just fucking threw it away.
What is this couch made of? Glass?
It's not even a big couch. It's the size of his back.
It's like a love seat.
It's like a love seat, but it's smaller than a love seat, perspective-wise.
Well, first off, it's probably from IKEA. That's why it fell apart when it hit the ground.
It fell apart as he was carrying it.
Did you ever own a piece of IKEA furniture?
Have I ever?
Yeah.
I still do.
Have I?
I don't got that kind of cash.
I'm sitting on one now, man.
I can 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 IKEA things in my apartment right now that I can see with my 5, 6 things I can see in my apartment.
All of the things that are not couches or chairs fall apart immediately.
No, I've had bookcases that lasted my 3 apartments.
I can see a bookcase. I can see that. I can see that one. Okay, so he breaks her couch.
He breaks her couch, right? Then him and the other guy that are robbing the apartment just end up stealing a bunch of her stuff and leaving.
What does the other guy look like?
You don't really see him until later.
Okay. What do they steal?
The other guy just like looks like a Weasley dude. He's got a long pointy nose and like blonde hair. They just steal all her shit. So afterwards. Afterwards, it cuts back to the turtles, and Splinter goes, "Oh, I'm going on my trip."
Splinter goes on trips now.
Wait, I'm confusing this with the other episode. No, never mind. That's the other episode.
They're all meshed together.
That's the other episode I watched. It cuts to Splinter. Splinter goes, "Careful," like he's teaching the turtles something, and they're really screwing in a light bulb by standing on each other's shoulders. It's really dumb.
Light bulb.
They're trying to screw in a light bulb in the sewer by standing on each other's shoulders 4 high and then trying to screw in a light bulb.
In their apartment? In their sewer,
yeah.
With a door and everything.
It's also bright as shit in the sewer, so they don't even need a light bulb. So who gives a shit?
Kind of a funny expression.
But then it cuts to the turtles, and April had called the turtles saying, "I just been robbed. You should come over."
Uh-huh.
So they drop everything.
Of course, they call. She only calls when she needs something. Did you ever notice that? You ever notice that about April? She doesn't care about the turtles. She only calls them when she's in trouble. All right? But go ahead.
They drop everything and run to her aid. Right?
Drop the light bulb?
Yeah, they drop the light bulb. They actually do that. Drop the light bulb.
I was going to say, I bet they do.
And then April gets the idea. April starts like complaining like how the cops don't do shit. Like how the cops in New York are garbage. Right?
That's true. That's a true statement.
Irma goes, you should research this and do a report on it. I'll talk to my guy at the police department who I know.
And then that's the guy she's hooking up with on the side.
And then she runs off, right? She runs off to go do that.
Exit, stage left.
And apparently Irma's still in the apartment, but she never shows up again.
She just stays there.
Oh no, she doesn't show up again. Okay. But then the turtles are on their way to April's apartment. And okay. Here's my other favorite scene. Okay. On the way to April's apartment, they come across the dudes that robbed her, right? The dudes that robbed her are having a tag sale on the sidewalk of all her shit.
Of course they are. You know what? I'd like to say that's ridiculous, but that does happen.
Yeah.
There are people that stupid that will rob somebody and sell their stuff on the street, not that far away.
Not that far from her apartment.
Car. It's not like people who rob people's houses in broad daylight are very smart to begin with. Right, these are usually pretty dumb people, so I actually can see that happening. That's pretty hilarious.
Well, what's even better is we learn at this yard sale, not only have they stolen everything from April, like they're just staying in from a pile of shit, like a pile of other people's shit. There's like a fridge in there. There's a record player. There's like four couches. There's an oven in there.
Man, these guys are fucking industrious. They get a lot. They're prolific burglars. They get a lot of shit done.
But we also learn that the dude that was hollering at Irma is one of them.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, the type of guy who would catcall a woman from his car is also a criminal?
Oh, he has a mom tattoo on his shoulder too.
That's so fucking cliche.
So turtles fight them.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And of course, they rock them.
They beat the shit out of them. They end up scaring them away by picking up their van together and just.
The turtles pick up their van.
Yeah, the turtles like they fight a bunch. They fight them all like one by one, but then they're still around. Right, they're still like not done with the fight. So the turtles go, "We'll show them," and pick up the van together, and that scares them off, and they just run away.
That's pretty funny.
It's fucking weird.
That's quite unusual.
Then they get back to April's apartment with all her shit.
They have all her stuff.
They have all her shit. They basically walk in.
What about the couch? What about the couch?
Yeah, they have a fridge, an oven, a record player, fucking three couches, and they walk in. They literally walk in with Donatello holding three boxes.
Amazing.
That's it.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he claims he's gonna fix her. He claims he's gonna fix her TV because it's all fucked up from the fight or something. And he goes, "Don't worry, I'll fix it." He plugs it and turns it on, and it explodes.
That's like the episode when they're in her apartment and they're throwing lipstick at a dartboard.
Yeah. That's the fucking
the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, and then April leaves and says she has a contact in the. In the police department, she's going to go check out what the guy was saying.
I want to ask this question. How far into the episode are you at this point?
We're like a third into it.
Okay, because I was going to say, we still haven't seen the robot policeman.
No. So April basically runs to the warehouse where they're building the robot policeman. Okay. And she meets the robot policeman.
We have a RoboCop, essentially.
His name is Rex One.
Rex? I have to see what this thing looks like. I know I'd probably find it. Entertaining. I have to look this up.
He looks like a monkey.
Looks like a monkey?
He looks like a cartoon gorilla. Like he has a big jaw.
I see this.
Rex Dash One.
Oh, he doesn't look like a gorilla.
He's got that big gorilla jaw.
He's just it's masculine, right? He's got that square jaw. Like me. My fiance always makes fun of me about this because I have a very, like, not square jaw. It's like a rounded little jaw. And I always go, "I have a very masculine jaw." Just make fun of me about it. He doesn't look like a gorilla. He just looks like a very big, bulky police officer robot.
He looks like a robot you would draw in your line notebook paper in class.
Which we all have. Come on, admit it.
Yeah.
Who hasn't? Who hasn't done it? Who hasn't drawn at least one robot in their notebook
during history class or whatever the fuck?
I remember in high school, all I did was draw through every class. I never paid attention to anything, and I told people all the time, "Actually, I'm glad I did that because it helped my drawing." Because I'm not using chemistry now.
Well, I was in the. I was in the advanced classes. I was a smarty pants in high school. And,
were you really?
Yeah, in junior high. In junior high, I took high school classes.
That's not normal for people who are good at art.
No, it's not.
Usually people who are good at art are
not. But I took those classes, and even through those classes, I would just draw.
My robot, Rex One.
Specifically history class. I just did not give a shit about history.
Well, obviously you should have. I mean, what are you, just an animator now? You work on storyboards? You need that history. I was very
important. Yeah. When am I going to need to know the name of Roman emperors in my life?
When the fuck is this going to be an issue?
This is not relevant.
Actually, especially with today's technology, if you ever needed to, you could just look it up.
Yeah, I have a phone that can tell me every answer to everything ever that has ever happened in the history of the world.
And I don't even have to type it. I can talk into it.
I can yell at it and it'll do things for me.
How fucking lazy is that? I don't even have to type it anymore.
So now it's like, if there's something I'm interested in, I'll actually read about it.
Rex One, the robot from TMNT. Finding results for Rex One. Just give you all those answers. All right, so April finds the robot.
April finds the robot, and the robot becomes her buddy.
I can see that. I can see that happening.
Essentially, like, I think she, because she turns it on, like, activates it, it follows her around. So it, like, beats up police for her and stuff.
Beats up cops?
Yeah, because the cops come in to, like, what are you doing in there?
Oh, yeah.
And Rex is like, no, and then
of Rex grabbing them. Yeah.
Yeah, because Rex does that.
That's what Rex, he grabs. That's one of his moves. The grab.
That's his only move.
That's his move, the grab. Okay, so this is RoboCop, basically.
Basically RoboCop.
Okay, so we got RoboCop. He beats up these police officers who are just trying to do their job.
Yeah.
April's about it.
Yeah, and then he takes April home. He picks her up and takes her home.
All right.
To her apartment. Right. We cut back to the Shredder. And B-Bob rocks it, and Shredder's like, I got the plans for the robot so we can make our own robots. I don't know how he got them, but sure. He got them.
Went to the public library, just like in the last episode.
They're public domain now.
Public domain. He made them public domain.
Yeah, then B-Bob and Rocksteady are like, yeah, this is awesome. We're going to make robots. So they're making robots, apparently.
Okay, so now, wait, let me understand this correctly. So Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady are going to create robots. Is that right?
Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady will create robots, yes.
Well, I do know Shredder can do these things. He does this in the first season.
Yes.
Somehow, if he's in a laboratory, he can do this.
Yes.
Okay, so, but Bebop and Rocksteady, their job is just to be
there. Bebop and Rocksteady are just in the scene getting super excited at the prospect of robots.
Because it's very important to them.
They don't do anything in this episode. Well, they don't do anything in most episodes, so who gives a shit?
To be fair, they don't really do anything in general.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing to me about watching old TMNT cartoons is that compared to the way the characters are now, they're so different. Especially Bebop and Rocksteady. In the current IDW comic, they are totally different.
I gotta read those. I gotta get on top of
it. They're different in this sense. It's not that they're not stupid. They are. But they are so overpowered. I mean, Bebop and Rocksteady in that comic book, it is ridiculous. Like, they will, buildings fall down on them. And whenever they appear in a scene, they kick the crap out of anybody who's there.
As they should.
No, but in the cartoon, they're just kind of bumbling and useless in
a
way.
They're Bulk and Skull from the Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't
exactly.
do anything. Yeah. They don't really oppose any sort of real
they're
threat.
Not a real threat. Yeah, but in the comic, when they appear, oh, someone's going to get their ass kicked. Like, whenever they appear, someone's going to get their ass kicked. That's pretty much what's implied every time they appear in a scene.
Yeah.
So it's very weird to watch the cartoon now, and then I read the comic, I'm going, this is so different. The cartoon. I wonder if are they even in the Mirage comic, or were they introduced in the cartoon?
Yeah, I don't know. You could easily look that up.
Yeah, but I'm not going to. I can't just pull up my phone and talk into it. I don't have the time for that.
First appearance. That's just the episode. That's just the animated guy.
I'm going to assume they were created for the cartoon.
I would think so, too.
I think that's a safe assumption. So, all right. Let's keep going. Let's keep going.
So, we cut back to April's apartment.
Okay.
And April's on the couch like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this robot guy. You know, it's Rex One. It's this piece of shit guy following me around. And then he comes in. He's like, I've been programmed to serve my master in all capacities.
So and she becomes his master because she turned him on.
Yeah. So she cooks him dinner. You know, he cooks her dinner.
All right. It's nice of him.
And it's like a plate of like gray green shit. And she's like, she eats it. She's like, this is the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
Well, because I mean, I'm gonna assume April does not know how to cook.
No, April is a TV dinner girl.
April is a modern girl, right?
A modern woman.
The modern woman. She don't cook, all right? She just randomly has men coming in and out of her apartment all the time when she needs the D. You know? She don't cook for nobody, all right? She orders in. She's in pretty good shape for a girl who eats pizza every night, probably. You know, I've never asked this. How old is April supposed to
be? Yeah,
I
was just thinking about that. How old is April supposed to be?
Because I'm going to assume her character is about in her mid-20s to early 20s.
I would say mid-20s.
Mid to early, but I think she's about in her mid-20s.
According to the wiki, the Turtlepedia, her date of birth is 1961.
Okay, and the show takes place in 1987. So she's 26 in the first episode. Yeah, all right. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? If you just do a quick Google search of April O'Neil, whenever girls cosplay as April O'Neil, they just have their tits hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
Every time. It's just they're in the jacket, and they just lower that zipper as much as they possibly can. That's pretty much...
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. I've never been to a convention where I saw a girl cosplaying as April O'Neil, actually. I'm sure there's tons of it. I've never seen it for some reason.
I'm sure I've seen it. I just... Not costume. Cosplay.
This is off topic! It's not entirely off topic, but...
Yeah. Anyway. So... After he cooks dinner for April, who comes in?
I don't know.
Irma comes in.
Does she want to go out with the robot?
Yes.
I was fucking joking.
Fuck the robot.
I knew it.
Irma comes in, and there's nothing she wants to do more than to fuck this robot.
Well,
she is down for some robot D.
Down for it. She wants Robo D.
She is so into this robot. It is ridiculous.
Let's be real. Not to get dirty, but I mean, come on. Irma's using a robot to satisfy herself every night anyway. It's not as advanced as this robot. You know, she has her own mechanical thing she uses to take care of herself. Okay? This robot is just a step up for her. Okay?
Yeah. I mean,
Irma's the type of woman to put peanut butter on an area. I'm not going to say what. Get a certain animal to do something, okay? That's the type of woman Irma is, alright?
Irma has a boyfriend pillow.
She has a boyfriend pillow. I'm going to assume a boyfriend pillow is a pillow you hug. Is that...
It's a pillow the size of the size of a person that you can snuggle with.
I think lots of girls have that.
I don't know about that.
It's just nice to hug a big pillow, what?
Yeah, no, I'm sure it is. I'm just saying.
I don't know, I don't think that's weird. At all. But, I mean, it's weird if you're single, maybe. That's all you have, and if you're using it for that purpose.
Yeah.
All right, but go on.
April takes Rex away from Irma and down to the turtles for some reason. Can't remember why. And then she decides that she needs to make a report on Rex. And they kidnap Vernon and bring him down to the sewer to help them make the live news broadcast about Rex.
What does Vernon have to do with this? So random.
They blindfold Vernon and bring him down. And they give him the camera to shoot. And he's like, I can't shoot because I have a blindfold on. Right?
Yep.
And then instead of... So they take the camera, they say, we'll film. And then they put him on like a switchboard, like a big fucking... They have a switchboard down there and he's like using it, but he's blindfolded.
Nice.
Yeah, and then Shredder is watching the report for some reason.
Of course he is.
Shredder watches a lot of TV in this show.
I've noticed that.
Or it's like either that or like April is the number one newscaster of all time and has the highest ratings because everyone watches all her shit at all times. But we cut back to Shredder and Shredder's talking like he's like... that's a good... She's right about how good that robot is because I built 1,000 of them or whatever.
What?
He has a whole army of them and they attack the turtles on a bridge.
Okay.
Well,
That's a lot of robots.
Yeah, the turtles are driving home from dropping off Vernon and they have to cross the bridge for some reason.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
So how do they deal with it?
Well, one of the evil Rexes shoots at the turtles, misses, hits the bridge, makes a big hole in the bridge, and the turtles just drive down there, just drive into the water.
Doesn't deal with the problem though.
No, it doesn't. And then Shredder's like, and then the robots tell Shredder the turtles are dead, and then you see like Shredder watching a screen that's basically what the robots are watching, which is a hole in the bridge and water and the turtle van going into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I won. But he knows the turtles can breathe in the water, or like
Turtles drown easily. Come on.
He knows that.
Come on, he's played the game on the NES. He knows how that shit goes, man. They swim in that water. Unless it's electric plants, they'll be fine.
That's a hard-ass stage.
Mm-hmm. Oof. I always lose at least one turtle in that part.
Yeah.
But go on.
Do you know how that game ends, by the way?
I've never beaten it, and I'd like to.
The game ends with them turning Splinter human.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You know what? That's one thing I gotta do before I die is beat that freaking game. One of the things I have to do. And I will. And I will. One of my many things. I need to beat that game. I need to beat Ninja Gaiden 1. I need to beat Blaster Master.
Good luck with Ninja Gaiden 1. Good luck.
I can do it.
Ninja Gaiden 1 has the cheapest death, though.
No, but there's a way to do it. I know how to do it. All right? You gotta get the whirly move.
The fireball thing?
No. There's one where you jump and you do a spin with the sword. You need that. If you can hold on to that, you can totally power through any boss. All right, so let's keep going. No tangents. I'm not editing. I don't want to edit. Keep going.
So then Shredder starts phase two of his plan, which is have the robots rob everything.
Everything.
So they rob banks. They stick up like
hot dog carts.
There's everything.
I just see a bunch of robots flipping them over and taking their
hot dogs. They rob Channel 6 News.
Damn, I want a hot dog right now. A New York City hot dog.
Yeah, you want a gross, dirty water hot dog?
I do. Or a Knish. One or the other.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So then the turtles get out of the Hudson River over there, out of the East River.
Yep.
And they track down the robots somehow, and they have a confrontation with them and Rex One, which is an army of robots, and they electrocute a bunch of them, but not before the other robots shoot a gargoyle off a building, and it falls and crushes Rex One.
No, that's so sad.
Rex One is.
He's done.
Might be dead. Irma is devastated.
Of course she is. Well, Irma, just find a new thing and shove me into that. Irma's
going to go home and sit on the washing machine.
You're bad. You, sir, have crossed the line. There's a line here at TNT Podcast. You've crossed it. You, Pizza Dozen Gum, have gone too far. Keep going.
Well, Rex One isn't dead. Donatello fixes him.
Of course he does.
There's a scene where he goes, Mikey, I need your VHS tapes to fix the robot.
VHS?
Yeah, and Mikey goes, but I love those movies. He goes, I need them. So he uses the tape to fix them. I don't know
how does a tape?
I have no idea.
Don't worry about it.
And they fix him, and they bring him back to life, and then they're happy, and they go to attack the Shredder.
But hold on, what about the robot army, though?
This part, I'm trying to remember what happens next.
Who defeats the robots?
Well, the robot army is still there, as far as they know. Oh, they beat up a bunch of the robots after the robots kill Rex One. They, like, slice a bunch of them in half and kill them and shit, and then they're, like, all fucked up.
How many of them?
Most of them? Half of them, maybe? There's a lot of them.
And they defeat all the robots?
Not all of them. Like, a good chunk of them. But then there's a shit ton more later, so maybe not that many to begin with.
Haven't Shredder produced so many robots?
I don't know. You got them going 24/7.
Jeez. Alright, so keep going.
So then they hatch a plan to go to the carnival.
What the hell? Sorry, somebody from New York is calling me. Oh, they decided to stop calling me. All right, don't worry about it. Keep going.
So they had to plan to lure Shredder over by shooting fireworks at a fair.
Okay.
To create a picture of a turtle in the air as a message to the robots to come attack them. Okay. Very weird. The robots in the area see the fireworks, and they tell Shredder that the turtles are still alive. So So then Shredder goes, all robots go there and fuck up those turtles. But, so then Donatello has the VHS tapes that Donatello put in Rex 1.
Yep.
Caused Rex 1 to act like whatever was on the tape.
Oh, I saw that coming. You know, I should have saw that coming.
So then he starts turning into like a cowboy. He turns into Dorothy from Wizard of Oz. He turns to Curly from Three Stooges. And then he gets an aerobic workout tape. And then causes him to fuck up all the robots.
Okay, so he fucks up the Rex One. Fucks up the robots due to his aerobics.
Yes, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense.
No,
makes no sense.
And then we cut back to Irma. To
it's Irma.
To April back at the apartment, and who comes into the door but Irma holding hands with Rex One.
Seriously?
Yeah. That's and Rex
little,
One.
That's a little disturbing, honestly.
And Rex One says he's more human now that he went through all this VHS tape thing, whatever that happened to him.
Just because he says he's more human doesn't mean he is more.
No. But he says he is, and now he says his new mission is to serve, protect, and take Irma to the movies.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh my god.
And we fade out. The end.
Irma is hooking up with a robot?
Irma's fucking a robot.
First off, number one, does he even have the apparatus to have sex?
I don't know. I don't think he does.
He
was built by police, so I don't know.
I don't think the police officer said install genitalia on the robot. This is very important.
Yeah.
I don't think it happened. Okay. Now, I'm sure she can use her own apparatus and add it to the robot.
I'm sure she could.
I'm sure she would.
I sent you a picture.
Of the robot hooking up with Irma?
Of Irma and
my god!
That's how it ends.
That's terrible! So let's be real. So Irma, in a nutshell, is a type of character who's so desperate.
So desperate.
For anybody, anything, street thug, robot, anything. However, unless it's a dumb guinea during the pizza convention.
Yes.
Alfredo. She won't do that.
She won't fuck Alfredo.
You know what? I'm very, very offended. As a fucking half Dago. Very offensive to me. My feelings are hurt. Very hurt. Okay. That's funny. That's the episode. Now let's talk about the video game.
Yes.
Okay, so first thing I have to say about the game, and I've said it to you, and I just feel like I have to say it on the podcast, I love the fact that they use the artwork from the comic. And I should know his name, and I don't.
it's Santo Loco.
Him, yeah.
Yeah.
He is freaking awesome. He's one of the best artists on the book. Although, what's his name is on the book now, and I really like him too.
Oh, the guy, Michael
Delight. We met him. Michael Dialanice. I can't pronounce his name.
He's Greek.
He's a Greek guy, yeah. He's really good too, actually.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's adding a lot to that book. But this guy, I like him a lot too. And I'm really glad they put his artwork as the main art in the game. Like, all the characters
They're based off of his stuff.
Exactly the way he would do it.
Yeah, it also looks a lot like that. What was that shitty black and white game on GameCube?
Black and white?
The black and white and red one where you murdered everyone? It's called like Murder World or something? Or
Mad World.
Mad World.
Yes, Mad World.
It looks like that, but in color.
I don't know. Like I haven't remember what Mad World looks like.
Well, Mad World looks like a comic book brought to life. Like
yeah,
similar to this.
I guess
this looks really cool.
No,
like, color wise, and it's interesting looking.
Just like the aesthetics of it.
Yeah, the aesthetics of it are really cool. Even like the effects on like the swinging of the swords and stuff look really, really fucking cool.
It looks great.
If that is gameplay, which I'm assuming it is.
I'm assuming it is. And what annoyed me, honestly, was on the website, it said something along the lines of, well, the guy writing is the guy who wrote the comic. And I'm going, yeah, why don't you mention that all the artwork is based off of one of the artists from the comic? That just annoyed me right there.
Yeah, but it's...
So you're not going to mention that?
The other thing is, like, how good does the writing in this game need to be? Like, realistically.
There are these people out there, and I don't get them, that the writing in a game is very important to them. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I don't like a game that's well-written. I do, especially if it's a role-playing game.
Yes.
But it's a beat-em-up. Like, how good does the writing need to be?
The issue is sometimes the writing takes precedence over mechanics and actual gameplay.
And that's a problem.
That's a huge problem because the reason it's a game is because there's gameplay.
Look, don't get me wrong. If you want to throw in some good writing on top of a good game, bravo. I'm not going to oppose. That sounds great.
But like Turtles in Time, that doesn't need to be well written.
Yeah, at no point was I playing Turtles in Time and go, this writing sucks.
Like, I wonder what Leonardo's motivation is in this.
No. But I mean, to be fair, if you have good writing between scenes, it's fun.
Oh yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, like, the fact that they're like written by, it's like that's not a selling point. Type of game.
That's not a selling point.
If it was like designed by the people who designed this game, you'd be like, oh,
see,
shit.
And jumping off of what you just said, I feel like the art design based on this guy's artwork is more important than the guy who wrote it. I'm like, this is the whole look of the game, and nobody seems to be mentioning it.
Well, this article that I've on the PlayStation website says, fans of the comic book series will definitely be familiar with the game's art. Platinum Games took a lot of inspiration from TMNT artist Matheus Santoloku.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because the article I read didn't even mention him.
It also looks like a Platinum game.
Yes.
Like, Platinum has a very specific...
Oh, on the topic of Platinum games, and because we talked about Platinum, I ended up buying Vanquish for the PS3.
And?
And I freaking love it.
Good.
I'm gonna play it right when I get off the Skype call with you. I might play a while on the Skype call with you. Like, that game is...
I haven't played it, but I heard it's fucking amazing.
It's freaking incredible. And what's funny is I'm playing it, and I'm going, why does nobody talk about this game?
Yeah.
Well,
Platinum has a bunch of those games that no one talks about.
And what's funny is I was, you know, WatchMojo on YouTube, they have all those top 10 lists that they
yeah,
made.
Yeah.
They made one about video game franchises that have, you know, a cult following. And Vanquish is on the honorable mentions list. And I said, thank you, because this game is amazing. And nobody, like, I don't seem to hear people talk about it. And I remember playing that game and going, oh my God, this game is so good. It is so good.
But here's my issue with the new game, though. My only issue is that it looks like it might be repetitive.
Oh, it will be.
But there's a...
Every beat-em-up is repetitive.
Yeah, but there's like the last Ninja Turtles game, the 3D one, out of the Shadows, whatever that shitty game was.
I didn't play it.
It was like boringly repetitive. Like...
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Like, it could be repetitive. Like, Turtles in Time is repetitive, but it's fun repetitive.
Yeah, there's a trick to it. I don't know what it is.
There's an art to it.
There's something to it. I don't know, you know, game design well enough to know what it is.
I don't either, but I know when I play a bad game.
Yeah, I know when I play a game and I get bored. You know what game is really repetitive and boring? The Simpsons arcade beat-em-up game?
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I really liked that game. I played that game as an adult, and I just said, I can't play this for more than 5 minutes.
It's not rewarding in the same way that, like, the X-Men game is.
Yeah, it's just not fun. It gets boring really fast.
Like, the X-Men game is you're constantly going to new places, you're at new things, new bad guys. And that happens in the Simpsons game, but to a way less extent. Like, all you fight are those white rabbit people.
I think part of the trick is with beat 'em ups, you have to constantly add in new elements every you know stage to mix it up.
Ooh.
Like, this guy has a bat. You beat him up, you get to hit somebody with a bat. And this guy has a stick of dynamite. And you can throw this guy off the screen over here. And there's you can throw this guy through a window. You can hyper-knee this person into a body of water. You know, that's interesting and fun. As long as you keep doing that in a beat 'em up, it stays enjoyable. But if it's just, you know, hit this guy with the same combo you've done a million times, now hit this guy with the same combo you've done a million times, then it gets boring.
Yeah. Well, I hope – I mean, next-gen beat-em-ups tend to introduce move sets and, like, special moves. And
then when you level up, you get more
certain moves. Combinations that, like, perform, like fighting moves, for lack of a better term. And they tend to like, they tend to either slow down the game because they're not implemented properly, or be too easy to perform, which makes them useless. You just end up pounding the same move over and over again. There needs to be like a sweet middle where they're hard enough to perform that they're not, you're not constantly using that attack, but they're not super hard to perform where you never use them because it's just easier to smash A a bunch of times.
I disagree. I love the Hyper Knee, and it's so hard to pull off.
But it's
the Hyper Knee is satisfying when you hit it.
The Hyper Knee is infinitely rewarding in its in how satisfying it is to blast a dude across the screen.
The sound effect alone, it sounds like an explosion with every hit. And that, and that's TMNP episode 15.
Yeah.
There it is. So yeah, game coming out summer, the Teenage Mutant Show game is coming out summer 2016.
What's it called? Mutants in Manhattan.
I'm going to get it. I'm buying.
I don't have a system to play it on, though.
I know you don't. But you can play it on PC.
No, you can't. Oh, wait, maybe. Yeah.
It's coming out on PC. It's
coming out on PC.
Your computer's not super old. You probably can play it.
No, I need to start looking into a new graphics card. I don't support the new.
You might as well just buy a new computer. No, graphics cards are so expensive. You might as well just buy a new computer.
I built my computer.
You physically built it?
I built my computer.
All right, we can talk about this after the show. All right, I'm going to end the show now, though.
No editing. No edits. No
editing. I'm putting this up like in 5 minutes.
Yeah, no. It's going up.
Tonight. I'm going to put it up. All right, I'm King California, heading out.
And I'm Pizza Tossin' Cub.
Take care, everybody.
Later.